first speaker on the workshop, Peace in the Midst of the Storm, and I give you K.
My name is Kay, and I'm an addict.
Hey,
and I'd like to thank the convention committee for allowing me to be a part of this convention. Peace in the midst of the storm. That's exactly where I am in my life today. And I did a lot of writing and a lot of reading about peace in the midst of the storm. And the only conclusion that I could come up with was my story. Throughout my recovery process, I'm from New York. And I got clean in Washington, D.C. I first came around in 84, then I went back out. My sister brought me here because we lost our mother and father in New York. And so she didn't want me to hang out on the streets of New York, so she thought it'd be best that I get some help. So she brought me here, got a bogus D.C. address, and I went into D.C. General. And from there, I went into Carrick Hall, and from there, I went into Mary Herron. So I had a place to live. That was home. Because I couldn't go back to my sister's house because she didn't want her children to see their aunt as a dope fiend anymore. But I had a wonderful process in recovery. Today, peace to me is my friends in recovery. I have some wonderful people in my life that have been there throughout my process of recovery. And I've had some new friends that have been through the process that have joined, and they have helped to carry me and to help center me in some of the storms. I was told last night by an old-timer that I don't need to claim any more storms. You know, I don't have to claim none, but I got to get rid of the ones that I have. You know, and my first storm came as a result of a relationship. Like I said, I partied all through the process. I went to conventions. I went to world conventions. I was having a ball. It was turning the beat around. You know, I was doing the damn thing. You know, all dressed up. You know, my sponsor was rolling with me, and we traveled, and we had a ball until I met this man. I met this man in Pittsburgh, and I fell in love instantly. I packed up my shit and told my sponsor I was moving to New York because I was in love. And she was like, "You leaving just like that?" "Yes, I gotta go." And I went home, and it worked for a long time. And then I got sick, and he found interest in somebody else. And I was devastated. I wanted to kill myself. And I used. I used because the pain was so great, and I had stopped going to meetings. And that was my first storm. And being that I had stopped going to meetings, I had stopped talking to people, I didn't know what to do but use. So I went to the after-hour spot. I didn't shoot no dope, but I sit there and I sniffed for 4 days. Then I called Diane. And she came to New York and got me in 3 hours, pulled up my carpet, you know, and brought me back to D.C., and they forced me into treatment. I was like, "I don't need no treatment. You know what I'm saying? I got this. You know, I'm a counselor. You know, I know what to do now. You know, all I needed was a place to stay. You know," but she said, "No, you're going up out of here. You're going into treatment." And they made me stay 90 days. And so that was my first storm. And I fought that. I was out there in Virginia, another bogus address, you know. But they got me in there. And I was angry because of the fact is that I was a counselor, you know, certified addiction specialist in the state of New York City. And then they gonna put me in treatment, so I was running the groups out there in Arlington. You know, and I told them, I said, "You know, I ain't smoked no crack, so don't be telling me no crack stories up in here. I got this." You know, I said, "The real people are the people that shot dope." And I came out there to that treatment facility, and they was gonna put me out. And Diane had to send somebody out there to straighten me out. So she sent her girlfriend, Pat. Yeah. She said, "You better get your shit together because you ain't got nowhere to go." You know, so I stayed and I fought that and I was really angry, you know, and I got through that process and then I picked up another relationship. You know, I have problems with relationships with myself, problems with relationship with others, and I can't blame nobody but me. But at first I was going to come in here and I was going to tell you it was their fault. You know, because I'm a good woman. I'm a fine woman. I got it going on. But that's not true. You know, it begins and ends with me. You know, and I used to think that my picker was wrong. You know, but by developing a relationship with God, I was able to develop a better relationship with myself. You know, the second storm was I lost my grandfather. And that was my man. He was 84 years old and used for 84 years. It was unbelievable that he was still alive. You know, he was strong. And he told me, he said, you the one needs to stop using that dope. You know? He said, I don't understand. He said, you should have kept drinking whiskey. And I was like, granddaddy, alcohol is a drug. He said, I don't know nothing about none of that. He was a country man, you know. He said, I don't know nothing about all that, you know, but alcohol is a drug. And I would not have survived drinking whiskey as long as he did. He lived for 84 years, and he was the last living relative that I had, a parental relative, because I lost my mother and father as a result of this disease in 84, both of them. My mother died on my birthday, April 8th, and my father died in December, back to back, as a result of this disease. So I was angry then, you know, but I kept using. I shot dope all the way through the funeral, you know. That was a storm, but I had arrived at Narcotics Anonymous, so I was able to get y'all to cushion me, you know, and I got through that, and I did not grieve for a long time, but I missed them, you know, because they was just beginning to live, but I picked up the same lifestyle. But my second storm was my grandfather, and he was in North Carolina, and I had to go down there and make a decision to put him in the nursing home. That was the hardest thing for me to do because he cried. He said, please don't abandon me. I suffer with abandonment issues because they left me because they was young. I come from a young family. My parents was young. My grandparents was young, younger than most people's grandparents. But they all used, every single one of them. And I had to tell them to put him in a nursing home, and then I had to come back to Maryland because I wasn't moving to North Carolina. And I was extremely depressed because of that, making that decision. And I got into an argument with some cousins because I'm the oldest member in this family. And my little cousins was trying to regulate something. I said, you wasn't even born. So you don't even have a clue what's going on. You know, my grandfather used to run a juke joint in North Carolina. You know, there was a juke joint in North Carolina and a bar in New York. So, and I was the oldest member in this family. So, you know, I got caught in between both of those situations. But I did it. But in my grandfather passing, it was a home in North Carolina and some things that had to be resolved. So I took control. And these young kids tried to beat me down, you know. But I straightened that, and I got through that. But as a result of that, my sister and my cousins do not speak to me today, you know. But before I came down here, I got a call from my sister. And she apologized to me. And she told me that she's been selfish, and she apologized, and she was wrong. And I had told Diane, I said, I'm not ready to make that phone call and forgive her as of yet, you know. But I got to continue to work through that one. That's another storm. But I'm not going to claim that one because I did what y'all told me to do as far as making amends to my family, you know, shooting dope in front of my family and my nieces. I made amends to them some time ago, but I know it's some more work that needs to be done, you know. And my third storm is another damn relationship. And I'm getting better, though. You know, I'm doing some work. You know, I'm not going to label nobody's names. I'm not going to call nobody's names. But it's very painful for me, you know, because like I said, I feel as though that I'm a productive member of society. I feel as though that I carry myself as a lady. Matter of fact, I know I'm a lady, you know, and I tried, and I'm a risk taker. You know what I'm saying? I've always been like that. If they said they had some dope in Atlanta and that shit was good, I would leave New York and ride all the way there, and we get high and then turn around and come all the way back, nodding. You know, I'm a risk taker. I do it. I love to travel. I love to take risks and meet new people and be adventurous. And I met someone that was very adventurous. You know what I'm saying? And it hurt, you know. I'm angry, you know. But I have to work through the principles that have been given to me. The predecessors set the tone for me. I had a lot of people in my life that were predecessors because when I first got here, that's all that it was. So I latched on to them, and I watched them grow, and I watched them do different things that I am going through now. They went through before, you know. I hate to do this, but Frances was my role model. She used to talk about relationships and how it hurt. You know, and I was like, damn, everybody gonna get their turn. Well, now I done had a couple. But now I turned 52 years old Sunday. You know, I'm grateful. I could have missed all of this. I am grateful to be alive. But as I get older, then them storms get harder. You know, I can't shake it off like I did when I was younger. You know, I tried, but you know, I got to do a lot more work. But I'm angry. I was talking to Diane this morning, and she was asking me why. You know, I said, I'm not ready to address that right now. You know, I got to give myself some time, give time. But I pray and I ask God for guidance to give me strength and to help me to get through this. And my last storm, which I don't want to continue to elaborate about because I've talked about this for so much until I don't feel comfortable about talking about it anymore, but I have to because this is part of my story. And it's one of the storms that I'm going through. I was diagnosed with cancer last year, you know, and it was a humiliating experience because I was misdiagnosed the first time. And then I had to go back, and they got the second diagnosis right. And having a portion of your body taken from you is a humiliating experience. And to come in here in the rooms and try to explain to you how I felt or what I was going through, y'all was clueless. For those of the people that didn't suffer with it, I didn't have any other disease other than the disease of addiction. So people got tired of me talking about it. You know, I got tired of talking about it to them, so I started going to support groups, people that could identify with what I was going through because the pain was so great. I wanted to go shoot some dope. And Walton told me, go ahead and get some damn dope. Shit. And I was like, I know you. See, he's joking, right? Because I was like, I'm going to go. He said, well, take your ass on. Yeah, go on, get some damn dope. So I looked around. I said, damn, Diane told me 7 and T used to have some dope. But I never copped dope in D.C. other than when somebody else was riding with me from New York and we was copping. But he told me to go get it. And after I thought about that shit, I said, I ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? He challenged me, you know. But I was in the meeting, and I was angry. And so that's the first thing that I felt I wanted to use, you know. And I was alone when this doctor told me about this, so I was I didn't know what to do. So I drove and drove and drove, and finally somebody came to my rescue. But that's a storm that I have gotten through. I'm surviving, you know what I'm saying? And I've met another woman that is surviving with me. So we do the daggone thing, you know. I know it's through God's grace and mercy that I'm standing here today, because it could have been the other way around. Because I saw another sister here last night that had the same thing I had at the same time with the same procedure, and the cancer came back and went to her brain. But she keeps showing up, and she was laughing, and her humor was very high, and I was really proud of her. So she was a powerful example for me, you know. But the peace I find in my friends, I don't have a lot, but I have some genuine people in my life, and they have helped carry me, you know, through a lot of phone calls, through a lot of prayer. They come and get me. They take me when I can't get up, you know, and embrace me, you know, because some days I don't feel like it. And peace is in making meetings, you know, meet and make is make it. When I first came here, we was making meetings at the old trust. It was the flyest niggas in the world at that meeting. I made 4 meetings a day. I would leave Diane's beauty shop after she did my hair first, right? She had to hook me up. And then I would go to Pathfinders to the early meeting, and I would continue to go there throughout the whole day. I found peace in doing that. I was happy. That was the happiest times that I could have been early in recovery. For the new babies that's in the room, Narcotics Anonymous is a wonderful place to be. You know, I came in, I felt helpless and hopeless. You know, I didn't like myself. I didn't like the way I looked, you know. And this lady dressed me up. You know, she fluffed me up, fixed my hair up. And I started going to those meetings and meeting all them wonderful people. And I latched on to the old timers. I ain't hang with no dang old newcomers because y'all ain't had no money. You know? And that's part of my story. You know, for those of you who know, I couldn't. So I hung out with the old timers. And they took care of me, but I had some behavior that I was not proud of that I came into the rooms with that was degrading. And Mark L. had given me a button, and he said, "Keep your hands in your pants and give the newcomer a chance." You know. And I fell in love with him. You know, I said, "I know he's trying to get with me, right?" I knew that he was trying to get with me. you know. But I stuck with them and made meetings with them. And a lot of other people that are no longer here, Betty S., you know, these women carried me to my first, I went to Bryce Mountain. And I said, an addict like me up here, the resort? You know, I said, oh, God, and I ain't had no money. They carried me there. And they had these excellent speakers and these workshops, these different language. We were learning the language of Narcotics Anonymous. I learned that early on. But I found peace in that. You know, and I used to go, Wally used to give these therapeutic, he used to give these H&I learning days. I found peace in doing things like that. And then after that, we would all go eat and go to a dance at Catholic University. And I would be dressed up. You thought I was at the Copacabana. But I had fun. And that was peace for me. And it still is today. I don't care to go to dances like I used to, but I love going to conventions and I love going to meetings and I love meeting people and seeing people from other states. Like I have a lot of friends in Detroit area and a lot of my friends are here from home in New York. And when I saw them last night, I was so, so happy to know that they were still alive and that they were still looking good, you know. And they're bringing the message to you all of Narcotics Anonymous coming from that end of New York. You know, and that's what I love. And we get together and talk about what we're going to do when we get to Texas. You know, what we're going to do when we go out of the country to the next world. I find peace in that. You know, we're planning to do things. And we're doing things without using drugs. You know, and having people to show up at my house when I'm sick. Those things are very peaceful for me. Or having somebody's child that I've watched since I was here in recovery grow up. And they graduate. You know, I am so proud of the women in here that have been able to come in here and continue and let their children grow up in recovery with us. That's peace for me because I don't have any children. So I extend myself to the children that are here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous or to the mothers of the children. Diane's daughters are like my sisters, you know, and I love them, you know, because they was there with me from the beginning, you know. And I appreciate having genuine people. Last night I was so proud of my predecessor, Francis. You know, my heart warmed up because I've been along that journey with her. And I was so very proud. And that was a very peaceful moment for me. You know, the storms, when I was told not to claim any more storms, I had to ask a couple of my friends. I said, I didn't know if I was claiming anymore. But I do know that I was trying to come to a clear understanding of the ones that I had, you know, without acting out. You know, because I have brought some embarrassment to someone in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and I haven't been able to apologize to them yet. But that's the only way that I knew how to get through that, you know. And in coming around and watching some of you all step up to the plate, I have to be the bigger person. And I have to apologize to this person and make amends. You know, now I done added a couple of niggas to my eight-step lip. I ain't adding no more. You know, but I am going to have to do that, and I know that. And I want to tell the new baby in my life, Lolita, how important that you have been. I almost had a heart attack, and Lolita came to the hospital in the middle of the night to sit with me. And I said, this is a young lady that's new in recovery with a child at home, and she got out of her bed to come and embrace me. And she carried me to her home and let me sit with her mother and her daughter. Now, that's some amazing stuff right there. And the new baby did that for me. Out of all the people that I had in that phone that morning, I'm sitting there, I said, I ain't going out like this. I don't even have a damn heart attack. I was stealing, y'all. What I did, I was stealing a truck. And the anxiety had gotten so high, I was stealing, doing something wrong. And I started up, and I was sitting there, and my heart started pumping. I said, oh, God, I'm going to have a damn heart attack. The anxiety level had risen so high, you know, until when I got to the emergency room, my pressure was up. And the doctor said, well, I'm glad that you came in, Ms. Sams. I'm glad you came in. And so they had to put me on this medication, on this drip. And I laid there for a couple hours. And I called this young lady, and she came, and she never left me. Never left me. And that's what we do for one another in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And when I call her, her sponsor is a powerful woman whom I know, who has been teaching her and guiding her. And so she's learning how to extend herself, you know, no matter what, you know. And she had very encouraging things to say to me, but I was feeling real, afterwards I was feeling ashamed that I had to call her to come in a situation like that. But that's a part of the process, you know. But I got through that. And the other piece, the other piece is that the feeling of helpless and hopelessness, you know, in the midst of all of this. You know, no matter how much writing that I did, you know, when I came down to it, I said, you know what, I just have to tell you all my story. You know, and when I relapsed, I have 11 years back. On September the 7th, I'll celebrate 12 years. I have 11 years back, and I'm really, really, really proud that I am still here, you know, through all of that stuff, because my story is that I use, you know, I use to my emotional self. You know, but as I was telling y'all about my friends that I'm so proud of to have in my life, they talked me through it, you know, and they helped me. And I know now that I have to start, I have started working on my steps again. I had to start all over again. This lady that's in my life, she says, you know, when I take you on, you know, we have to start over from the very first beginning. You know, so I was doing that and doing a lot of writing. So that has helped give me some peace as well. You know, and it brought new women into my life. My sponsee sisters, these are different women in my life in the Silver Springs area where I live. Because they used to always ask me, they say, you live here in Silver Springs, why you always go around the Beltway to the trust clinic? I said, that's my story. That's where I got clean. You know, it wasn't originally there. It was where it was. That's what we did every day. And that's all I knew. So that's why I did it, coming all the way around the Beltway. And then finally, I started to make meetings in Silver Springs. You know, it was like I had just arrived. I was like, who are these people? You know, it's like they're living in another land up here. You know, because they don't come downtown. You know, so I had to get to know these people because they lived in my community. And I did that. So that has helped me as well. I want to thank Tex for being in my life. You know, we have a hell of a story in recovery and outside the room, right? But some people that will always exist in our lives, and we would truly love them. And Tex, you're one of those people. I'm not a long-winded type of person. How much time I got? Yeah. So they tell me I got a whole lot more time. I had looked up storm in the dictionary, and I had another friend named Clarence. He told me, he said, Kay, you do not go through storms. You have tsunamis. And I was like, what? You know, I was like, I don't appreciate that. He said, well, I'm just being honest. He said, since you're going in there and speaking and everything, you know, he said, you have tsunamis. He said, you have financial tsunamis. He said, you have emotional tsunamis. He said, and them damn men you be choosing, he said, that's a tsunami in itself. And he said, I'm just being honest. And I was like, no, not necessarily in that order. But I did know that some of what he was saying was true, you know. But when I had looked up the definition of storm, it was rocky, you know, shaky, you know, tumultuous. Some big words, you know, and it's, all of it's dealing with emotions, you know. Like the storm, like the tsunami to me, was it killed people. You know, so when he said tsunami, I was like, no, that's not the type of storm I've been going. He said, oh, hell yeah, it is. You know, he said, because that's what you shared you want to do. You want to hit a nigga upside the head and shit. He said, so that means you're out of control. And I appreciate that. But he ain't here. He didn't come to the convention because I was like, look, you know, that's just too much information right now. But I worked through that. You know, I worked through it and I tried. I bounced it off some of my friends and they just laughed. Just like you laughing. But I took that shit personal. I said a tsunami. Now, that's not, I remember that thing that happened over there in Indonesia. It wiped the whole face of the earth. I mean, the whole island. I don't do things like that. You know, but when I'm angry or when somebody, you know, I'm out to get your ass. It's on. And I'm taking my friends with me. Yeah. But I had one friend that called me and he said, well, two of them. And they said, sugar, you gonna have to take care of your business. I was hurt because I'm used to where me and Tex come from, the niggas roll with us and they straighten our business for us. And y'all DC niggas don't roll like that. Man, I should have called Tex. You know, the brothers come to us and say, yo, you want us to straighten that for you, baby? I swear to God, I thought that's what y'all was gonna do. That y'all was gonna straighten out my affairs. Because that's how we used to roll. No, but it is one sister in here that rolled with me, though. I just want y'all to know that. She always be down with me. But I called two guys that I admire and respect. And they said, Sugar, take care of your business. I ain't spoke to one of them in a long time. The other one I still love. You know, and I did take care of my business. It took me a while, and that shit was hard. You know, I was like, how you just gonna let me? He said, sure, I'm telling you now, baby. You know, and he sounds so lackadaisy about it. I knew I ain't had no help from him. You know, but the person that always stood up for me, showed up for me, and we took care of that. You know, but a text, man, it ain't the same like it is, in, you know, with the Uptown crew. You know, now that I'm 52, I got to handle my business. And that's what I'm doing. I'm in the business of straightening my life out, you know, and not creating any more tsunamis, you know. I have to be careful of the people that I place in my life. I have to be very mindful that I don't need nothing toxic because I'm toxic enough. You know what I'm saying? I don't need those situations. I don't need any more situations. I have to have a healthy type of atmosphere. My doctors have told me that spiritual conditioning. She said, you know them sessions that you go to? She said, talk to them about spiritual conditioning. She said, because as a person that has an illness, that's what you need. And I said, you know something? That is exactly what I'm inspiring to do. But thank you all for allowing me to share my experience, strength, and hope, and I'll keep coming.
We want to thank Kay again for that message of hope. And for our next speaker on the workshop, Peace in the Midst of the Storm, I give you Anthony.
I'm an addict, and my name is Anthony. First of all, I'd like to thank the CPC, or CPCRNA, for allowing me to share my experience, strength, and hope with this convention. You know, yesterday, I guess what I really did was I put my name on that sheet because I don't have a service position in NA. Now, my sponsors helped me to see that I'm always in service. There's always something to do, Anthony. So what I did was, in coming up here, I wanted to kind of have fun because my wife and my kids allowed me to say, you know, go do what you need to do. So I put my name on the sheet and I said, anything y'all need me to do, you know, just call me, you know. And they did. You know, because my sponsor also helped me see that that I'm a big hat dude. Really, I want to be seen. I want you to really hear me. I'm loud as hell. You know what I mean? But so what happened was, yesterday they asked me to lead a meeting at 4:30. And I'm sitting up front. And really, inside, I'm happy about it. Because I never did this. Right? But then on the other side, now I'm nervous as hell when 4:30 get there. And I'm sitting up front. And then the dude walked in. Now, part of me said, damn. The other part of me said, boy, that's good. Now you ain't got to go with all that shit you was thinking about. You know what I mean? So this morning, man, the guy asked me again, man, we need you to come and share. And he said, the topic is peace in the midst of the storm. I'm a real emotional guy. I found that out after coming to NA. Before I got here, I was a gorilla. I was born in Savannah, Georgia. I am a Bama. Good looking Bama today. You understand? So I was born in Savannah, Georgia. I ended up in D.C. getting clean. So before coming to N.A., you know, all I knew was to walk around. You know, I actually practiced growing up, you know, trying to be tough and lying. You know, because the people in my neighborhood, everybody was going to jail. Everybody was, you know, breaking into people's shit. Everybody was getting high. Everybody was, you know, having sex. But me. You know, I was real skinny. I was real dark. And when I was young, I had, like, my hair was, like, because we used to stay outside and go to the swimming pool. So I was real dark and skinny, and I lived in the projects, and my hair had turned kind of red. And my mom used to twist it up in knots, right? Because she ain't had really time to plait and shit. My mom was hurry up, like. It was like, go on and play, you know what I mean? And early on, what I did was I acquired, you know, a lot of insecurity about who I was and the way that I was growing up. So you're talking about a guy who grew up really not liking himself. See, I always thought I was too dark. You know, it was always the light-skinned guy that got the girl. You know what I mean? He was always my damn friend. You know what I mean? And I used to stand there and wonder, why she don't like me? You know what I mean? So it was this kind of feelings that I grew up with all my life, man. I didn't have a father, but I had a hell of a mother. See, I realized today that I had a hell of a mother. See, for real, it takes a hell of a woman to raise a guy like me. So what happened to me was the guy said he wanted me to share on a piece in the midst of the storm. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I can share on this topic. I've been here all year. Actually, I've been there all the years I've been married. Yeah. Yep, I'm going to get right to it. I done talked to the creator. My sponsor been told me what to do. I ain't had to really ask him a whole lot of questions today. Yesterday, the guy gave me the topic, and I'm asking him questions and shit today. I was like, man, I'm good. I'm good today, man. I'm going to tell the truth. Truth is I'm emotionally imbalanced most of the time. I do not know how to control my behavior. You do something I don't like or say something I don't want you to say, I go there. What the fuck? But I'm working every day. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Then I just, you know, I want to knock a hole in the wall. Like, you know, the program don't ever come up. The program don't pop up and shit. I pop up. Immediately. It's almost like, you know, the program be slow and shit. You know, my sponsor always talking about practice, practice. You know what I mean? They talk about the creator always presents you not with problems, but with opportunities. He present me with opportunities to get closer to him. But I don't see it that way. Don't, man, you don't, come on now. Some of y'all can relate to this. The reality of it is I'm in a position and I'm faced with a dilemma. Something has happened to me that has caused my emotions to do this. And I go all the way back to the little dark-skinned dude who y'all didn't, you know, nobody really liked. See, I'm starting to get emotional. I love my sponsor, though. He's helped me to see me in a way as, Anthony, it's easy. All you got to do is bring him back into balance. So I'm okay now. So what happens is this. He presents me with opportunities, right? But I can't see him that way because really, see, the program is set up in order. See, you don't pray for peace. Look at this dude. It's hard to pray for peace at the war, you know. You got to grab your gun, your helmet, and everything, and then your mind saying, all right, pray. it's almost like it's too late. You got to fight now with what you have. Well, all I have at that particular time is unbalanced emotions. Now, the other side of that, going into the solution, if I'm praying long before things are happening, it's funny how the Creator kind of shows up right when he needs to. It's almost like he shows up like Big Mama. Like, shut up. You can do this. And you standing there and you... But you don't say nothing. Somebody told me that's called practicing. That's called actually when the opportunity arises, everything you want to do, you don't do. So what has been happening to me, I've been married for 9 years. Now, my life is a storybook. That's what you need to know. Let me say that first. I ain't coming here with all this here. No. I came in here, I was about 130 pounds. I had about 2 inches of dead skin on my feet. I was 3 shades darker than I am today. Somebody say, damn! And I was in a position where it was easy to surrender because I was at a point where humiliation was so great that humility was easy to come across. Because my humiliation came through all the years, all the different states, all the different tricks, all the different ideas. So here it is, some dude, he drops me off in Alexandria, Virginia. And he say, he'll be back. He told me, memorize this address on the way there. We're going to get you some treatment. I get in there, all the way over there, I'm telling myself, 2627 Janie's Lane. 2627 Janie's Lane. And I'm in the back seat. The two dudes in the front seat, they tripping. See, they've been in NA. They've been here a long time, right? So, but they're helping me. They doing what Narcotics Anonymous allows them to do. So the dude drops me off. I done memorized the address. I go in there. He said, go in that door. Tell him, if he's going to ask you where you live, tell him where you live. Give him that address. So I get out the car. I got this big ass bag. I got a Bible. I got all this spiritual literature that I never read. I ain't never read none of it. But it was a good idea to start reading it that day. I was in trouble. I heard Steve Harvey say, when you're in trouble, you need to go to church. You need to go have somebody pray for you. So I go in this door, and I sit down, and the dude is getting ready to do my intake. So I'm sitting there. He said, what's your name? I said, Anthony. He said, where you live? I said, 2627 Janie's Lane. He said, you lying? I said, that dude outside told me to say that. I said, man, please don't put me out. I ain't never been to Virginia. I'm from Savannah. I came to D.C. I ended up in Virginia. I don't even know how to get back to D.C. Humility. Through humiliation. So what was starting to happen was God was working in my life long before I knew he was. So now where the peace came in at, what I didn't know is the dude I was talking to was in the program. I'm talking about the steps. And what he did was he laughed. He gave me a comb, a bar of soap, and a little bag and a pillow and told me, man, it's going to be all right. You a funny dude. So what happened was, man, all of this year, put it like this. My wife, I love my wife. Now, learning how to continue to grow that love in my union has been my challenge. Now, I got married. My life has been a storybook, man. I came in here. I got clean in 5 years, man. 5 years. I went from the shelter to the hill with the picket fence, with the big house, with the gators, the trucks, clothing. I had all of this stuff, and I'm feeling like, boy, I'm all right now. Here come the storms. Ain't nobody told me it was going to be like this. See, because I just used to come to meetings and see people I wanted to be like. Same thing it was when I was in the street and I was little. You saw the guys out there. They had whoever had the best stuff and looked the best, that's what I wanted to be. I don't see that. I ain't never looked at no damn dude drinking and say, I want to be just like him. No, I seen a dude with a Cadillac, all the women and all the money. That's who I want to be. Yeah. Didn't have an idea what the hell he was doing. You know what I mean? So what started to happen for me, man, was this. My wife, man, we moved to Stafford County, Virginia. And in the beginning, man, we was like, yeah, honey, you got a job, I got a job. We got jobs. We can do this. I'm going to put everything in this basket, and I'm gonna give you everything you want. My wife stopped wanting to ride up and down 95, though. She said, I'm tired of this shit, Anthony. I'm tired of this shit, Anthony. I can't do it. It's making me sick. You know how women is. It's making me sick. You know, mind you, I'm coming up and down 95 every day. I'm sick as a motherfucker. But I got to keep going. Because we done signed the papers. The people say if you don't pay, we gonna take this. Now I done signed up for everything. You know, come in, things are happening to me, but I'm young in recovery, man. This is, you know, I'm not used to, I ain't never had no damn house. Man, I had an apartment, my rent was $450. And I wouldn't pay that. So now she's in a point where she don't want to drive up and down the highway. Well, part of me said, man, be a good man, be a good husband. Take care of your wife. Do what you're supposed to do. So I said, honey, don't worry about it. You ain't got to drive no more. Stay home. Here's when I started calling my sponsor regularly. All the time, you know. Man, I can't believe this damn woman. You know what I mean? So what happened was, man, to make a long story short, man, I asked for everything I got. I signed up for that. Because what happened was my sponsor helped me see that the way that I was leading was the way that she was following. That ain't what I saw. Shit, I ain't see that. What I saw was she wouldn't do what the hell I needed her to. If she just do what she need to do, she'll be all right. So I'm like, well, I'm out here, I'm building decks, because I got this side business now. See, my self-esteem grew through me starting to do things that I knew I could do, but never had an opportunity because I was using. See, I knew God didn't create me to be a crackhead, but I could, you know, shit, crack was good, though. Come on now, I'm a real crackhead. We used to say shit like, I'm going to smoke till the hearse come. You know what I mean? You know, I used to be in Tampa, Florida, man, and we used to be walking around saying that shit to ourselves. You know what I mean? It's a hell of a thing to be saying that and not really hear yourself. I got to Narcotics Anonymous and really heard that shit, I'm going to smoke till the hearse come. The hearse? So what I started to do, man, was I started to try to do more things for my wife based on my level of self-esteem. I thought I was being a man. I thought I was doing what it is I needed to do, but what I was doing, I was creating my own problems through lack of understanding, through lack of not knowing how to lead, based on my level of emotion and dealing with my emotions through arguments, through situations. So you know, things got rough. Shit, please, goddamn, I can't do this by myself. You know what I mean? I'm out here, man. I ain't getting no sleep. People know me. Every time they see me in DC, I got a radio in my damn pocket, a Metro shirt on, I'm going to work. I'm telling somebody I got to go over here and build this. I got to go work. My sponsor told me to call him every day. You know what I mean? I got dudes talking about, you my sponsor. Man, I ain't got time for none of that shit. I got to pay my mortgage. That's what my head say. I pop up quicker than the program. I pop up, man. I'm telling you, man. I'm on time, too. You know? Bam. Hey, Anthony, what's up, man? We in trouble. Your shit is late. So what started to happen, man, I'm going to speed this up. I started to lose myself in doing what I thought I needed to be doing. See, it's a hard thing for me to explain because I thought I was doing what a man do. I think I'm being a man. I'm taking care of my kids. I got a roof over their head. I'm trying to love my wife to the best of my ability, but my emotions is causing me to do it out of order. See, I'm just doing it. Honey, hush. You're complaining too damn much now. You know, hush. Go on, go. All right, go on to the store. Go on and get it. You know, then she got a problem with spending. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Put the money in the bank. Honey, don't bother that. I'm going to pay all the bills. And she come back to me and say, Anthony, but I really want this. You know, I really want to do this. And, you know, and then I look at her and I say, well, honey, we can't do it. And then the other part of me said, man, you better get that woman what she want. And I said, all right, go ahead then. Then the first thing I want to do is go back to her argument. Well, goddamn, now we can't pay the bills. But you did it, Anthony. You popped up. Your stupid ass the one popped up and told her to do it. You keep allowing it. Somebody told me you got to trim the fat. I said, what the fuck is you talking about? He said, you got to trim the fat. You got to stop doing things when you know you shouldn't do them. And you just got to do what you need to do. But, man, look. You start trying to do that shit later on, though. You know, I'm talking about, I'm country too. Later on, though. You done been spoiling a woman all this time. All of a sudden, you start telling this woman, I ain't gonna do it no more. Man, my wife looking at me like, oh, yeah, okay. All right. Nah, she ain't even asking no more. Boy, I used to go home, and she would be hiding shit behind the sofa and closets. I used to go home and be scared to open any door. Because, you know, I opened the door one time, I seen her bags of shit. I was like, oh, Lord. I hurry up to the phone. I'm calling the bank. Woo, we got a deficit. But the truth of the matter was, is that I had to start putting myself in a better position where I could lead. So what I started to do was I started to practice the principles more than I started to listen to me. I started to allow myself to see myself for who I really am. See, I'm not a bad person. I'm not all good all the time. But the truth is I'm trying to do the best I can. And what I did realize was I ain't got to just allow you to do something just to make you happy. What I need to do is I need to do it because it needs to be done, or either I don't need to do it because we can't goddamn afford it. We just can't do it. But I never had the courage to say that. It takes me so much, man, to gain courage to say and do what it is I need to do, because most of the time I'm looking at my self-esteem level, and what makes me feel better and look better is when you tell me I'm all right. Man, you don't hear me. See, when you tell me I'm all right, I'm all right. Now, God, show me I'm all right, man. I don't know, God. I don't feel all right. Then my sponsor say some stuff like, man, fuck your feelings. Fuck my feet, man. I'm. But I had to start to understand what he was trying to see, what he was trying to help me see. See, what he was trying to help me see was that what I was feeling was really not as important as what I was getting ready to do. Because the decision I was going to make was really going to, it was really going to show me, and you know, after I made it, how well I'm doing. So what I've started to do is this. I've started to try to lead and do the best I can through loving me first. You understand? Recognizing that God, that my reliance, my spiritual reliance in the second step is where I need to be most of the time. Understanding that whatever it is that's going on, it's all right anyway. Especially when I ain't got the power to deal with it. Cause you know, we're addicts. We're funny, man. We some crazy ass people. That's just the bottom line. The thing about it is, we'll know we ain't got the power, but we'll go look for it. We you know, I start doing things like, you know, I go find me, man. I'm gonna fix all this shit, man. I'm gonna build me two decks, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do that, and you know. And it came down to it, man. You know, a little while ago, I told my wife, man. I said, can't do this no more. I said, honey, you know what? You deserve to be happy, but I do too. I said, I'm tired of living like this. Now in my head, I'm running around doing shit. She don't know I'm she don't know I'm doing anyway. So I'm feeling all kind of guilt anyway. But the truth is, I said, well, you know, I think we're real. You know, we better off. We might as well sell this motherfucking house. Let's just sell it. Let's sell it. Let's sell it quick. Fuck that. Shit, you know. And I gotta say it like that because I don't really mean it. I'm like, just sell it, sell it, sell it, sell it. You know what I mean? You know, and I'm making the best decision I can, not based on my emotion, but I'm basing it now on the truth. Because the truth is, we can't afford this shit right now. We in trouble. And either you're gonna start to follow me, Are we gonna be worse off than we is today? So I started to tell her, man, and then we said, well, let's just sell it, and I'll stay over here, and you stay over there. And somebody told me, boy, you better know what the fuck you're doing. You're gonna have to go to court. I got two kids. One time she said, well, you know, it'll be all right. You can have the kids and all that. And then she thought about that shit. My wife said, yeah, we can sell the house. Well, how much you gonna pay us? I said, how much I'm gonna pay y'all? I said, what do you think I'm gonna live? I said, we ain't gotta go like that. All we gotta do is split that thing down the middle. Shit. Nah, her emotions unbalanced too. See, and I found that out through her understanding. Like, no, ain't no half. I want most. I want blood. You know what I mean? Because you make a woman mad, man. A scoring woman ain't nothing to play with. I'm trying to tell you, you scoring one if you want to. You know what I mean? Your ass gonna pay for it. You know what I mean? So I started to be under, you know, I started to tell myself the truth, man. I said, well, honey, let's just sell the house, man. You go your way, I go mine, man. And we learn how to live with each other so we can raise our kids. You know, we were going to counseling. We're dealing with people that's trying to help us in different areas. And, you know, what the counselor told me, man, I used to think she was on her side, though. I told my sponsor, man, I don't know, man, what the fuck? I'm sitting up in a counselor session, and everything she say, the counselor saying, you know what, Anthony, that's right. And then when I say something, hold, wait a minute, Anthony. And I'm starting to feel, there come that little dude again, he popped the fuck up, man, you ain't. Bro, you ain't got no help in here. You can't win. Don't be open. Just suck your teeth or something, you know. So I start, man, I don't hear that shit, man. You know what I mean? But the lady started to help us see, man, that, you know, one of the most amazing things came out of this was the peace. My sponsor used to tell me, man, find peace in where you at. or make a damn decision to move on. That's the program. He always in shit like that. That's the program. Man, go ahead, man. But I started to see it that way. Because that's the truth. That's the truth. Don't man, ain't no sense in coming in no damn meeting all the time. My wife this, my husband that. Man, shut the fuck up. Find peace and where you at, or move the fuck on. So I started to look at it like, man, you know, I started to do some things. So when me and my wife would argue, man, I started to do some things like walk away. I started to do my sponsor again. I talk about my sponsor a lot. I don't care who don't like it. This is my story.
That's right.
I started to do, he used to always tell me, he said, restraint of tongue. Like, what that mean? Shut the fuck up. Don't say nothing. Because everything you're going to say is wrong. Because you fucking with you. Remember you popping up? You know what I mean? I'm telling you, at the time, if you know, you think about the arguments you get in. You think about the when emotional balance starts to appear, because it's going to appear. You know, and based on your spirit conditioning, is how you're going to really react. So most of the time, what I was going to say, if I'm prayed up, and I'm just, because I got a guidance prayer that I say every day. God, guide me so clearly that someone as stupid as I can understand. Motivate me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet to live this day, to do this step, or whatever it is I struggle with. With patience, persistence, and joy, according to our will. Now, the thing about that, you do that in the morning, you prepare for your day, and you don't know what's going to come at you. But it's funny how God shows up. Because, see, opposite of peace is rage and all that other shit. You know, that's, you know what I mean? So God is sitting over here. He ain't worried about nothing. You is. He keep telling me, I got you. You just need to participate. You know what I mean? So what it started happening to me, man, I started really looking at life for what it is. You know, Anthony, there's some things that you ain't got the strength to deal with. There's some things that you ain't going to be able to do. There's some things that you just got to ask God to help you with. And you got to allow him to help you through shutting the fuck up. Through just doing all you could and allowing him to show up and show you the way. So what I started to do, I started to love my wife in spite of what I thought about, what we was going through. And I just started to say, no, we can't do this. We got to do that. So, you know, my peace today is really not contingent upon her. My peace is really contingent upon where I'm at. You know what I mean? And my peace now really comes because, you know, it's amazing how when we really practice the program, then we see the results, we be like, damn, this shit really works. You know what I mean? But that's later on. If you don't ever get there, you ain't going to never see it. So you ain't going to believe in the program. See, you ain't going to believe in the program because you ain't never allow it to work. I keep going on my own understanding. And I keep ending up where I end up. Crazy. You know, so I don't know, man. I thank God, man, that I have the sponsor and the network that I have. And because I was listening to Kay. It's funny, man. I've surrounded myself because I'm an entrepreneur too. I got that kind of mind, man. I've come from nowhere to get somewhere. So what has happened for me, man, was I've allowed myself to start to do some of the things that the Creator petitions me to do daily. And I'm not as good as I want to be, but I'm not as bad as I was. See, I don't call my sponsor. I told him the other day. I said, man, I haven't been really calling you because I'm trying to practice not calling you when I'm crazy, when I'm emotionally imbalanced. I'm actually trying to do what you told me. Pray first. Then hold your tongue, and then just do the next best thing. You know, practice the program. So I want to thank the committee, man, and I want to thank y'all for being here for me, for embracing me, through this, because I know without a shadow of a doubt, man, it's going to be all right. See, it's already all right. I just got to leave it alone. Peace in the midst of the storm means, you know, all it means is that if I rely on God more than I rely on me, I'm going to be better off. I see people walk around here all the time, man. It's amazing, man. I be struggling with this little bitty shit, man. People be talking about, I got cancer, I got this, I got that. Hey, man, I've been blessed. I ain't been faced with any of that. You know what I mean? So what I really started to do, man, I started to embrace some of the people who are struggling with other things. And that helps me get outside of me to see me. I want to thank y'all and thank this committee. Thanks for letting me share.